I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharamam saranam gacchami. Dityampi tatyampi sattva. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam saranam gacchami. Dityampi tatyampi sattva. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Kamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By a compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by a compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by a compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by a compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, thy compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, thy compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this reputation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this reputation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry to correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Again and again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness splits into all consciousness. We are here today suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing suffering over any suffering. We are not here to create and claim to release. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning?
I had a very familiar, very karmic thing happen yesterday, and someone thought, oh, I'm out of it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm so tired of it. So I got into a twist. I just got into an internal rant about something.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very familiar pattern. It's resentment is a real karmic thing, you know, for me. And so it was around resentment. And just went on and on. And at one point, I even stopped and said, this is conditioning. And all it's trying to do is only doing this to make me feel rotten.
Uh-huh.
And I got right back into it.
Uh-huh.
And then, as happens 99.999% of the time, the thing I was all in twit about got resolved about 5 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
And what I had been in twit about wasn't happening at all.
Uh-huh.
Should I stop there?
Let me reflect. So what the thing that you got in such a twit about and really got worked up, and there was resentment, and there was even realization that this was conditioning, and there was just that whole process, a momentum, and the whole process going,
mm-hmm.
And then you saw that that it got resolved about 5 minutes later, and that the whole rant had absolutely nothing to do with what was actually happening.
Exactly so. Yes, and that's always the case.
Uh-huh.
So, and then what happens, this is familiar pattern too, then what happens is that the whole thing just drops away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like conditioning just leaves the scene,
uh-huh.
So that I don't see anything.
Uh-huh.
So I don't get it that just happened, but I do see it.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw another piece, and this is what felt really important. So, this morning, my person I live with has been grappling with a health issue, and so, apparently, of course, then I got caught up in a kind of panicky state, and
you did, or the person?
The other person.
Okay.
And so, couldn't get back to sleep, and then what she said was, so I just started naming all the things I'm grateful for,
mm-hmm.
and that's the last thing I remember.
Uh-huh.
Went right to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And what I got from that was, that's what I didn't do. She changed her focus of attention. You know? And so what happened with yesterday, and what often happens is that kind of resentful gets going. Even I know it's conditioning, and what I don't do is step two, which is This is conditioning to shift the attention to something else.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to help that. I just wanted to really name it that. I don't know whether, since I know it is conditioning, I don't know whether the momentum gets going and I actually just can't shift it, or whether I choose not to.
Okay. So you don't know whether the momentum gets going and actually the attention can't get shifted in the midst of that momentum, or if the momentum gets going and you just choose not to.
Right. If I can catch it early, often I can just say, this isn't real. Or, this is, I don't know this. Then it can just stop. But if I get into it, you know, it's like getting into a bat or something. And I recognize there's also a kind of perverse satisfaction in it. You know, there's some sort of sour reward in being this poor, victimized, unappreciated, whatever, you know, being. And what I was seeing as I was walking down here and recording about it is the most helpful thing to see was, just like yesterday, I saw that conditioning was doing this not because it cared, but because, you know, it was to make me miserable. Mm-hmm. What I was seeing walking down here was the whole complex of stuff that happens only exists to reinforce the existence of an I.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't even about being a victim.
Uh-huh.
It isn't even about poor me. It's just about me.
Uh-huh.
Whatever me is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it can go in the other direction too when it gets laudatory about something. But I really just saw that it's all just to reinforce the existence of someone somewhere.
So you saw on a very minute, close range that it's not at all about the content. It's not about being a victim. It's not about the subject of the rant. It's really just about an identity, about a me.
Yeah. And it's not even about the nature of the identity. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Whether I'm a victim or whether I'm a champion, as long as there's an I,
right,
that's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, and so being in that, and that it just jumps into a vat of something. You know, it could be laudatory, it could be resentment, it could be anything,
mm-hmm.
knowing or, you know, whatever. But as long as a me is maintained, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
And it sounds, do you feel like in yesterday's example, that you were it, or that you were the one who said, this is just conditioning?
Both. You know, I was the one who commented, I was the one who saw it, and I was the one that fell back in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, you know, the piece of information arrived, which just blew the whole thing out of the water. And then the helpful thing to see was that conditioning did not want me to see what I had seen,
uh-huh.
but just to move on. Let's move on from here. So, but it took something outside to break it.
The outside being that
a piece of information
that came in to blow the whole thing out of the water, that was sort of like left the human going, oh, right, this has nothing to do with the content. It got all resolved like it does 99.999% of the time. And conditioning was just like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
let's move on.
That's right.
Yeah.
And one of these going to say, oh, well, great.
Uh-huh.
You know, something else.
Uh-huh.
So it's been a helpful thing to see, but it was such an old, entire pattern.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's two perspectives right there that you just articulated. It's such a helpful thing to see, but it's such a whole entire pattern.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
There it is.
That for that. This is conditioning, but I'm so. But this is, you know,
yeah. And the whole entire pattern part is just that I feel like I'm finally ready to maybe give it up. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That it's. And that's what's helpful to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there it is again. It's really unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It's always untrue. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually had a metaphor for it, for getting caught there. We went to San Francisco last Sunday for an event, and there was a place where we got caught in traffic a mile short of the Richmond Bridge.
Uh-huh.
It took us an hour to go that mile.
Wow.
We were in the left turn lane for 40 minutes. And I thought, that's what it's like. It's like getting caught in the left turn lane for 20 minutes and not being able to get out. And the difference is, I can get out.
Yeah.
And so I it was a trial to go through that, and so just to remember that this is what I'm in, and I can get out of this one.
Yeah,
it would be very helpful.
Yeah, you can get out because what you're seeing is that it's a toll that it takes. It takes a lot of energy. It's miserable, and it's long. It's old, and so it feels like with that realization, there's a readiness to let it go. And even seeing that metaphor was sort of an out, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I know I can get out of this one.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Which sort of sums it all up, doesn't it? Because that's what has been going on, as we're seeing. Because, what's dropping in is that, wow, what we're doing here is awareness practice.
That's right.
And what great awareness practice.
That's right. It doesn't matter what we're aware of, just what we're aware of.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cameron. I had a good experience today during the daily recollection of just seeing how attention or lack thereof affects what's going on.
Uh-huh.
So, in reality, the daily recollection is a really long lots of words, and I've been saying it for lots of years, so it's somewhere, you know. But what I saw, and I have seen it before, but it always is just really great to see that. You know, I can go along and say the whole thing effortlessly, but the moment that a thought comes in or something that takes my attention, mm-hmm. that's when I will lose the daily recollection.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like just such a perfect metaphor that when the daily recollection, I think, is just in life.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if I'm in life, there it is, and I'm with it, and it comes out of my mouth
uh-huh.
effortlessly and perfectly. But when I'm not there, I don't have access to it.
Yeah.
And so I'm in this place that's not here. It's
yeah.
not anywhere real.
Yeah.
And so then I'm disjointed from life.
Yeah.
And that's how things get forgotten. That's how things get... You know, just life just gets balled up in a mess
uh-huh.
when it life is going on, and I take a detour over here, and I'm not with it. You
yeah,
know?
You take a little exit ramp,
yeah.
and then are off here while life is going on.
Yeah,
and you can see from just that experience of the daily recollection how it's possible to actually, well, I don't know if actually, but the experience is kind of out of step with life.
Uh-huh.
This is great.
Uh-huh.
I've just taken a detour. And then, so what just feels innate because it's so in you is actually not accessible in that
yeah.
moment.
Yeah. And when you said about, did you say something about driving?
Uh-huh. Exit ramp.
Exit ramp. So what came up for me is that same thing has happened when I've been driving, where I'm going somewhere that I've been 100 times or something, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not completely there, and I'll be, noodling something, and then all of a sudden I'm at a certain place, and I wake up, and it's like, I don't remember how I don't remember exactly getting there.
Uh-huh.
And so it's that kind of feeling that I'm not there.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been there. And then, where are we?
Are you at the same destination that you actually intended to go to when that happened?
Usually so.
You can arrive there, but you don't actually get the experience of having gotten there.
There you go.
There's something else going on because you're up noodling in your head.
Yeah.
And so you miss the whole experience.
Yeah, and it's kind of a frightening thing in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That gosh, yikes!
Yikes is it, isn't it?
It's not quite so scary if I lose track of the if I'm in the group, you know. It's going on, and so
things
I can just
quite so high, are they?
Not so high.
You're not wielding this really big instrument that could do damage.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just such a good example of the power of attention and the power of losing attention.
Yeah. Gosh, that is so amazing, isn't it? And it's sort of like what Penny was pointing to get the impact.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I can actually, like, sometimes it's just something like saying the wrong word or doing unfortunate things or forget things, get forgotten or overlooked or whatever. But they can have really big consequences too.
Of
actually driving a car and not being there and something unfortunate happening. You know, because when we're not, the power of attention, being with the moment, is being in that flow of life and attention not being with the moment. Who knows?
The distraction, it is malicious. It's malicious because I've had two incidences during meditation now recently where I have almost passed out for whatever reason. Who knows? And so now I hear that. Are you okay? Is everything okay? Are you not feeling dizzy? Are you? You know, and so it's directing my attention to that, to recreate that experience. And so it's you know, I can actually feel that it could start, it really could start that, the fear of it.
Yeah. Ooh, it's so creepy, isn't
it? It is creepy.
So there you are, sitting in meditation, and here this pseudo caring, are you okay? Are you starting to feel that? Are you still up? You know. And what you're seeing is a malicious attempt to distract the attention from right here, the breath, the counting, whatever, to a story. Maybe you're about to pass out. Maybe there's something really wrong. Well, what if you're in?
Yeah, exactly. That's the direction. Yeah.
It has nothing. It is. The malicious is really a good word for it, isn't it? Because it's got nothing but the self-serving, we can guess, motive. Certainly not a concern for you.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Of course. Directing my attention to the possibility of passing out in meditation again is not helpful on any level.
Yes, exactly. But see, it tries to make it seem like it's really concerned about you.
It kind of does. Yeah. But I don't feel it. I don't feel love.
Yeah. Exactly. Isn't that good to see?
Yes. It really, really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We have to be very vigilant because it's always in there pulling little strings and trying to just change things just enough to start to slide.
Yeah. It's just a tone of voice or a little sleight of hand or a little distraction of the attention just to pull the strings that it's been in the past we can get successful at pulling, but from years of practice we know another way, and we certainly we can direct our attention back to you. We do get to be vigilant.
Yeah.
The best opportunity to be vigilant.
Right.
Thank you. Good stuff.
I have this process that I'm seeing that's it's really helpful hearing other people talk about their karmic process, and then I'm able to see it as a karmic process. You know, what I see is you have to be pretty far along in the seeing of it to even be able to talk about it.
Like,
there's already a level of freedom if I can see it.
Yeah, there's a sort of those times when it's just us, like it just feels like our skin, there's nothing like, talk about it, talk about what? Because it's just there.
Right.
But to be able to talk about it sort of suggests a distance that, oh, I can see this, and that's to at least articulate that what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a cycle that I see is that I don't know. There's something I don't know, and that I want to know, that I don't know. And so I look to someone else for the knowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they would appear to know, or else I wouldn't have turned to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can fill this in with any content.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, okay, good. Now, then I do what they say, which is knowing. I mean, they're like, I don't know, and here's someone who knows, so I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time goes on, I discover that I do know, and that's not right.
What part is not right?
What I did, that like following someone else's knowing,
oh.
Like what I acted out of their knowing, is not right. It's not... I mean, it might be empirically speaking not right. Like, it might not be successful, but it's not right for me.
Okay, so hold on. I want to catch up with you. So there's this recognition that they know what I know I don't know, but I want to know, so I'm going to go ask them.
Right.
They give you some information.
Right.
Okay, got it. I go and do that.
Right.
And then at some point in the process, there's another realization that what they told me to do, that's not right. And I know what's right. And dang it, I should
know. Well, I don't even know if I know what's right. I just know that's not right.
Oh,
and I know, and there's a rage. The rage is that I gave over, it seems like in that moment, it seems like the rage is that they don't know, and they didn't say, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's one of my great things as a teacher all these years to say, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Like, I tell all the people I train, and I'll be like, you say, I don't know every day.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because it's so weak. I feel like, I said this a few weeks ago, I feel like knowing is an addiction as
uh-huh.
humans.
Uh-huh.
And it's crazy what knowing does. But so, and there's this desire to know, so I get it from someone else, and then that I think the rage, it doesn't, if it works out, okay, it works out.
Uh-huh.
It works out. But the rage is that, giving away the knowing, and the rage is maybe that it's like a cheap way to go.
So there's a rage when something, but it has, okay, so let's say it doesn't work out, whatever they told you to do and whatever you're doing. And then there's this rage, they didn't know, and I gave over. I kind of went cheap.
Right. The rage is that I gave over.
I gave over. And asked them.
Versus being with not knowing.
Uh-huh.
Being with not knowing.
Uh-huh.
And letting not knowing be there.
Uh-huh.
And from that place of not knowing, knowing will come.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But there's such a horrible discomfort with not knowing.
Uh-huh. That I go seek out that other person.
Right.
Instead of just staying with the not knowing.
Right, and this has been my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said there's just a huge discomfort with not knowing. And that it's even an addiction. Like, I can't not know. I've got to know. You know?
Well, I see... that's interesting. That's not what I said. I see as an addiction. I see as humans, I see this addiction of knowing. Like, if we know something, we're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we as a group don't like to say I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Makes us look bad to not know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I hadn't seen it that's projection, and that for me it's an addiction to know.
You're included in that whole human thing.
Yeah, no, I for sure am. I mean, I get that. But I hadn't seen it related to this cycle.
Oh, okay.
That in that place of not knowing, that not knowing is so uncomfortable, that's as the opposite of the comfort of knowing, the false comfort of knowing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is comfortable, however false it is.
Yeah. Until the rage kicks in.
Until the rage comes, right? But there's that two moments.
Yeah.
And I lost it. Like the discomfort of not knowing is the other side of the serious comfort of knowing.
Yes.
Of knowing I'm right. Doing something like being right.
Yeah. That's
the place. That's where it appears right now in this conversation that's the place where it starts. where that's the place where the karma kicks in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The discomfort of not knowing. And it's a pretty, it's a powerful feeling, mm-hmm. that discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have to, it's all, and it doesn't seem like, of course it's not presented as, oh, this is a feeling, you could just be with this feeling.
Right.
No, it's like somebody really knows, and you have to find out the person who knows and do what they say that they, I mean, and then that just leads to a rage.
Yeah. It's not going to be presented as, okay, now Krista, you're in the middle of a karmic pattern here, and in about 3 weeks you're going to be in rage because, you know, right now you just need to know. You know, it's not going to be that.
No.
But that's what you're seeing, is that there's this whole karmic cycle that happens, of which that not knowing discomfort is a part.
Right, is a part where, yes, the not knowing is a part. And then the other side, after the rage, there's, or maybe in conjunction with the rage, there's a lot of blaming.
Yeah.
And I really don't enjoy that. You know, it's as if the people that I got the answer from are consciously doing something to have something not work.
Yeah.
When actually the reality is they're giving their best answer.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say, well, I don't really know, but this is what it looks like. This is what I think right now. Because everyone's so hooked into this knowing crap.
Uh-huh.
Why should they
know? They think
crap?
They know too. And you ask, so I'm going to tell you what I know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you get to that place of that part of the cycle that's blaming, it presupposes or presumes that they somehow did something really to lead you intentionally astray or whatever. Because
right.
They're, so, and it feels terrible to be in that place of blame because they're just doing, they just gave you their best answer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's another way that is Krista sort of gets in this icky place.
Right.
From rage to blaming to feeling bad about, well, they just gave you them. Why do you blame them? You know, it's just kind of a whole self-hating cycle.
Right. When it's possible to be in a place of not knowing and from that place of not knowing, real knowing will come.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not instantaneous.
In that place of not knowing, real knowing will come, but it's not instantaneous.
Right, because the reality is I actually do know. But there's like a cloud, there's like a fog that comes in that keeps me from knowing. So, but like there's so much I already know, like, you know, you can fill in any content. But I, like, because this is a whole karmic thing and not knowing leads to asking, leads to rage and blaming, of course, there's fog around not knowing that keeps me from knowing.
And what you're articulating now, it's because, you know, it is true, we can build in any content, which helps us then to look at the process.
Right.
So the process is that in it, what it sounds like you're articulating is that there is a deep sense that, again, regardless of the content, there's a place where just is. Just we use the word knows, but it's not like a know-it-all kind of knowing content. It's just well-being or knowing in that sense of
yeah.
well-being.
I mean, in anything, like in
right.
in what's the right thing to eat for the next meal.
Yes. Yeah.
Or
when you touch into that place, right?
When you touch in and wait for the knowing to come, then you know if you want what's the right food for you,
mm-hmm.
for me. I mean, I know.
Yeah.
If I tune in to know.
Yeah. And we can call that place center. When we tune into center, there's just knowing what's the right thing to come.
Right.
Yeah. And then you get pulled out to go to them, and then off we go in that whole battering cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, it's vicious.
And it's as if they're doing something, but really it comes back to being with not knowing and waiting for knowing to arrive.
Yeah. Hmm. Which it sounds like is pretty instantaneous when we're here. Because there's, you know, again, if we're not connected to the content, it's just, I'm in that place. And then I'll step in the next step in from that place. And then the next step from that place.
Mm-hmm.
The center. You know that knowing. And we can just carry that with us as the content arises and it goes away. You know, in other words, the constant is that we're attention.
Right.
You know? And again, seeing it.
Yeah, it's a very big, big pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, and it's so tricky just how to ask for support and ask for help and ask someone to, but then take it just as information and then go back to what's my own knowing.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what you say. What's really right for me?
Yeah, that is so big, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's how to ask for information from that place of center.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're not giving over, like you said, you know, kind of is what the rage seems to be connected to. If there's no leaving center.
Mm-hmm.
You can still ask for information because there are people who know a lot of good stuff to share and all of that. But it's not a negating of what is best for you, what is
right
for you.
Which is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I get, well, I guess I can get hooked in any part of the cycle.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
But where it gets my attention now is when I'm in the upset or blame or rage,
uh-huh.
It's that I gave away. I can see that now. Is that's where I look for where I gave myself away,
yeah,
to someone else's knowing. Whether their know, whatever their knowing is, it wasn't mine.
Uh-huh. So what would be a compassionate behavior change when that catches you, when you find yourself there, that kind of gets you out of that cycle? What would occur to you as something compassionate to do for Krista in that moment, since that's where it gets your attention?
Well, what occurs to me is that whenever I find myself in that, to just say, if you're in this place where it went off is way early in the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can see it in the way that we're talking about. I mean, I can see it in business relationships,
mm-hmm,
where I'm in this result and I'm like, how did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
And then if I go back and I can see how we got here.
Mm. So what you're offering yourself is a larger perspective.
Yes.
Where this is exactly what you're saying is, okay, we got off that here. So this isn't really the end all.
This is just
the
result of,
yeah,
of down the line of symptoms of this real thing back here where we,
yeah,
went off.
Yeah.
And we went off where, when I didn't really know, here's the fact, I didn't really know, and someone else appeared to know, or even if I did kind of know, but I sort of disregarded my own knowing because someone else's knowing seems so strong.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I went along with that.
Uh-huh.
And then it always gets to something that's not right for me.
Uh-huh.
It, yep, might not be right for them either, but they're, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all I know is for me it's not right.
Yeah.
And then there's my upset.
Yeah.
So that just to reflect, the, did you say the reframe or what was the phrase you used?
The larger perspective.
The larger perspective is when I have an upset over here, it's to say, well, where way back when did I go off,
mm-hmm,
from my own knowing that led me here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that feels like that would sort of bring me back to your heart. That's,
yeah,
more of a question than a statement.
Well, it feels like it takes it out of getting stuck in that whatever the thing is over here,
mm-hmm,
into the larger process so that I can make different choices,
mm-hmm,
so I'm not there again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is always coming from my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot, though, there's a lot of karma and conditioning around the lack of clarity, mm-hmm. there's a lot there mm-hmm. that leads to giving away the authority, that mm-hmm. leads to the upset. Mm-hmm. So, there could be just a few more years to look at with that.
kind of the shortcut to cut it back to, maybe 9 years, is that two-handed recording exercise. So that, to bring in that exercise anywhere along the cycle, actually, anywhere and everywhere. To have, so here's where I'm feeling, here's what I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling that blaming, they should, and I'm mad, and I'm being acute, and see, I'm being told I've left myself again, and I'm feeling whatever. Record that, and then put the recorder in the other hand and let the mentor respond. To offer that larger perspective, to maybe bring in some, whatever she would bring in, mm-hmm. which she or she would bring in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a fun idea.
Yeah.
To anywhere in that cycle.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you were just like doing that recording and that two-handed exercise every single day, we know this cycle is probably happening. I'm probably somewhere in the cycle right now, mm-hmm. So where would that be? And then you can look at it from any day, bring awareness to it. Well, right now, it doesn't feel like there's anything, I don't know. No, we're good. Okay, and then, there was this kind of, basically, you're just taking the perspective of watching
the cycle.
Watching where you are in the cycle. And not trying to change it or anything, but just
right.
kind of, being with the mentor with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to write this down. I know rewriting is really how I get
uh-huh.
Clear.
Uh-huh.
This is on the edge uh-huh. of my consciousness.
Uh-huh.
And but I want to also say that I practice all the time.
Uh-huh.
I have the hardest time with recording and listening. I have so, even though I like it, actually, I really like it. I just have, there's some kind of crazy resistance that kicks in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I really like the idea of doing it with this cycle, because it's a bit like a game.
Yes, exactly.
And I like games.
Yep.
And it's not like doing it just from a place of suffering to get out of suffering.
Right.
But from a place of seeing a game and a cycle and freedom around the game and the cycle.
Yes, which is the best place to practice from, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a game.
Yeah. It's a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you'll record that. Hopefully.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Just in a workshop of practicing choosing our experience over belief
uh-huh.
around the deadlines that get us to cope with. So the experience is that every time there's a deadline, it's like a structure that gives life the opportunity to show up in a really big way.
Uh-huh.
Right? And the experience is that life always does show up.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience is that these experiences have been completely guided perfectly, that makes a person religious. Like, just open that thing over there, or just look at that note, and then it's just life right for me.
Uh-huh.
So that's the experience. And then the belief is, somehow the deadline's out to get me, So I'm here like a week out. I've got this week. I've got a writing retreat ahead.
Mm.
And what was dropping in actually was something I heard Cherry say to a caller on the year-long retreat radio show this week, which is have an awareness wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awareness wall.
Mm-hmm.
All the ways a person gets trapped and like that. So I've got like folders on the recorder about it, but also to have scriptures with what's true about this experience.
Yeah,
life always does show up. Because I think the practice process is like
practicing trusting that life always shows up without having to suffer beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is so big, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So choosing one's experience,
yeah,
over beliefs,
yeah,
and doing and choosing the experience before you've kind of been dragged through the suffering beliefs,
yeah, a while.
And one of the ways it's occurring for you to do that is to have the wall that Sherry suggested, that you know, get it, you know, you've got it in your folders on your recorder, but to also get it visually, where everything you know to be true is literally right there in your face, in your hermitage.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that will be a really lovely thing to do this afternoon. You know, the support for those beliefs.
Yeah.
And also, dropping in maybe some notes in the calendar with alerts to say, listen to that mm-hmm. recording about mm-hmm. what's true about this experience that has life always showed up, right?
Yeah.
To just build in that structure in case, God forbid, there might be some forgetting.
Yeah. 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 It really is what you're talking about is supporting the human to direct her attention to what she knows to be true.
Yes.
Because from your past experience, you also know to be true that the attention can get diverted and dragged into these beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But that when it's on, what is actually so is so perfect,
yeah,
all the time. And so that's where you want your attention to be.
Yeah. I'm just seeing that part of that is, you know, a bamboozle can come in which turns that looking to experience and what's true into comparison, right? Like, well, where were we? Like, this the last time we did this, where were we at this point? Oh,
no, we're not.
That was going so well. This isn't going for, you know, like that. But it's not looking to experience as a content, but looking to experience as a process.
Oh, that, yeah.
So catching that one, guys, I caught that one. We will say that for when we're going to do, because that's around a lot, like, you know.
Yeah, it just sneaks in the back door, right,
yeah,
of content. So
mm-hmm.
the comparison to make experience be of content, like,
yeah,
well, your experience back then,
yeah,
was da-da-da-da-da,
yeah,
and so it's not your experience now, which totally corrupts the, because experience is a process.
Yeah.
It's not content.
Right.
And so it co-opts that and tries to set, but you just got, you know, you got onto it.
Yeah.
So you're going to make that recording too, that reminder that I'm looking to my experience as a process,
mm-hmm,
not falling for the benefit of comparison.
Yeah. That's really cool. And part of that bad experience of being so guided is that so is this just, you know, when you put recordings on shuffle and it's just like,
mm-hmm,
no.
No.
I mean, it just happens every time. So there was this recording from that beautiful workshop we did last fall on art and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I was talking about a prompt that we were given in that workshop around following energy,
mm-hmm,
just following the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that's exactly the process with the writing, like there's that little spark of, oh, yeah, you know, and yeah, just keeping it, I guess, keeping it like from the heart and
mm-hmm
all the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a, you know, perfect little support.
A perfect example of what you started out describing, and
mm-hmm,
why just didn't make the person religious.
Yeah.
But it just drops in this perfect little, look at this, and you open this.
Yeah.
Here's the recording on shuffle. It just drops in that, mm-hmm, that is so exquisitely tuned to what is in this moment.
Yeah.
That just follow the heart. Keep the attention of the heart. You know, just follow the energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so utterly perfect for guiding the human
mm-hmm
in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's that practice, isn't it, of practicing is of like turning attention to how life's taking such loving care of within each moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's that response in the email class of not waiting until we're drowning
mm-hmm
for the
mm-hmm
win, but doing that in every moment. So every morning I'm recording that reminder that that's what we're
mm-hmm
practicing. You know, it might be a morning of like, so like exquisite well-being and like this morning, the sun is shining and the world is singing, and to be practicing that this morning, not the night before the deadline, so like turning attention to how that, those amazing green leaves are like bathing the eyes and just soothing the whole system, and how the birds are helping us to be here and how the ground is, like that.
So it's so I'm not checking. So the practice of paying attention and noticing, bringing the attention to all these ways that the senses are divided, that the spirit is soothed, that the heart is supported. Now, not waiting till the night before the deadline or the night before anything, at the last moment, whatever it happens to be. And in that way, it sounds like, from what you said a minute ago, the deadline is not that thing that's out to get you. Mm-hmm. It's that thing that helps the attention, helps prompt the emphasis, perhaps, for the human to start early.
Yeah, it's like, practicing that orientation of everything supporting those to be bigger, everything supporting the joy of love. And like, that, redirecting the attention from, the deadline is going to be scary, for me it's out to get me, and for me it's out to, out to get me in the sense of show how inadequate I am, trip me off with it. Like that, redirecting attention from that to the deadlines and structures that really support life to show up, and then
the deadline is that which is the structure that supports us in seeing how life shows up, and redirecting attention there instead of this thing that is just out to prove our inadequacy.
Right. Just like that movement from the hostile universe to a friendly universe. Everything's for our awakening and our own well-being.
And it does go back to the guide's encouragement to start now.
Yes.
It's like death can be that same thing for us, right? It's like a big deadline, and we can just see there's something out to get us.
Or it's like, I think that's why we practice now.
Really appreciate the discussion. It's so amazing. And that, see yourself in everything.
Oh, that's great.
Such a good. So, I was looking at just last night I was reporting about the difference between the idea of what I want and what actually provides exquisite well-being. So it's like, it's the end of a week, there's a little bit of space, I want whatever, right? Uh-huh. And, it's not like the options are huge. What would that be? I don't know, right? But it's interesting to watch that the process could still be there.
Uh-huh.
Metaphorically, I want to, sit on the couch and eat whatever. But I wasn't identified with that. Sometimes I am, and I wasn't. And I think because that comes from so many years of experience of that's not what I actually want, and it doesn't take care of me. So I had this project in my hermitage where I had to clean something up, and it had just gotten unpleasantly untidy, and just things like that. And so I just spent the evening doing those things and listening to my recordings on shuffle and sitting and, all these things. And it was like, by the end of the night, it was like as if I'd been to, the best party I ever just that sense of, there's nothing I would have rather been doing tonight. And I made a recording about that, just a reminder, of just that place of, I don't know, I've just heard it in a bunch of different snippets in the discussion this morning of
letting life provide for me, rather than going with the idea of what I want. You know, big quote marks around that.
Big quote marks. Because, so letting life provide, rather than going with this idea of what I want, and proving it to yourself. For lots of years, it sounds like a sea of
wearing away the other.
Wearing away the other. Going with the day, identify with it, not it. And really, and even seeing that tried over, seeing that arise again last night, but not going with it. And then getting the benefit, getting getting the goodies of having just done the next thing, and still getting the, like the energy of feeling like having been to the best party, and then getting and because life provided that opportunity.
And it really is a process. Right, because the suffering process could just as easily happen with that list of contents. Okay, first we're going to clean this, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to sit. And it's going to be great. And we're going to feel, back to the comparison. Because last time we did that, it was really good. Well, what happened? I don't feel really good. Because it wasn't the process.
Right? You weren't letting life give you what you really wanted.
You know, and the other piece of it that I just, I just find incredibly inspiring and reassuring is that, at least in my experience, it really does, it's the image we were using a couple of weeks ago, with the water wearing away the rock, and the water wants to wear away the rock, and the rock wants to be worn away by the water, and that it really is a process of wearing it away. So there's no, ego's always going to want to come in, like we're talking about those back doors, always going to want to come in with the, now make sure life is leading here, and don't go after the thing you want, and always going to try to come in with that. But to realize, we can just, back to that, we can just play with it, because it's wearing away. It just is. And if we can have that, I always use the word courage here, if we can have the courage to just pay attention as it's all going on, boy, it's really all going to start being one way.
If I'm tracking what you're saying, it's that the wearing away process just is. What's happening in this life. We can either be with it, have the courage to just be with it, and in, as your experience and other experiences have described it, it can really lead to some pretty joyful places, pretty exquisitely happy moments. Or we can give over the attention to ego, who, can take anything, even the language of, you got to sit because you got to be aware of the water wearing away. It's like, we can let our attention go there, which that process totally robs us of everything else that is happening.
Exactly. And that it feels like that. When we pay attention to everything enlightens, that willingness to be there through all of it is what wears it away. That, in my experience, when we're in that, I love that, put a thing on your calendar that reminds you to listen to the recording, that, right? Because it can be hard to get the human's attention. I mean, when the head's down and it's completely in that, there can be this tunnel vision of, like, it's always been this way, it always will be this way. What's wrong, why isn't this working, blah, blah, blah. But when there can be just that tiny step back awareness, like what we talked about earlier with the, this is just conditioning. But that's all it takes, in my experience, is just that tiny, what seems tiny, little awareness of it actually being worn away in that. And it can feel like, again, in my experience, that when I'm in the middle of it, it feels like, wow, why am I not able to get out of this? Why am I not making a different choice? Why am I? But with that awareness, there is something going on there. It's just that's not when we see the quote results. It's later on that when we do really step back and we see, and my experience is always like, wow, it's all part of it. It's all, the transformation is happening in every part of that. It's just that we tend to have a preference for
sense.
When we're stepped back, and it's all very clear,
but
and you're back to the knowing. Oh, I see, you know, there really is nothing wrong, and it's a much more fun place to be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the other places are wrong.
Exactly. In fact, yeah, so it sounds similar. What you're saying, it sounds like what I think the guy was pointing to, when we're in that, we're in the ranch or whatever, right? The head down, tunnel vision, it's always going to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just that little movement of, now I need to finish this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know this isn't it, but we're still in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's described it's a very powerful place in practice,
yeah,
because that sort of karma is wearing away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get disidentified,
mm-hmm.
and like, whew, oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
oh yeah, I like this one much better.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that preference,
mm-hmm.
just really doesn't serve anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a really helpful, and it's the wearing away process,
mm-hmm.
that's hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we're wanting.
Yeah, and that place of like, so whatever the identification is, you know, and then the identification, then something shifts on the content level to take it out, and that, like, you know, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I suspect that that shift is there because there's way too much awareness happening in us, right?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so we're seeing, we're in the middle of it, which feels, quote, wrong,
yeah.
from that dualistic perspective. It feels wrong that I'm here and that I'm, and that we're tricked into thinking, you know, with that, that we're not good. You know, it's right. It's out. Everything is restored. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that place of, you know, just seeing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You
because
know.
Awareness is in both places.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like awareness goes anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And exactly as we've been talking about this morning, that place of, you know, just seeing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing all the things that it does. Really powerful.
It is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to be able to see all of it, even in those very old karmic patterns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I was looking at that. I think this morning I was reading some email class responses. And someone said something like, along the lines of, I was doing the exercise and kept turning my attention to the thing, to the life place, basically, and conditioning kept coming in, and that, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, we practice forever, just give up, and I chose to keep turning my attention back to the thing. And Sherry was like, bingo, you know, there it is,
mm-hmm.
right? There's the whole thing. You know, where is that idea that we're going to arrive somewhere,
yeah.
right? And that the voices are going to give up,
yeah.
and that, I mean, who came up with that?
Exactly. Who came up with that destination idea? Like, we're really going to arrive somewhere.
Yeah.
Could it be someone who just doesn't want to have us in the moment of where we actually are and have life?
Yeah. Which I think is why, you know, we're on that comparison bamboozle, why that one is so powerful. Because without the comparison, it would truly not have the ability to make us suffer, because it would just be, we are wherever we are, we're paying attention to all of it, it just is what it is,
yeah.
you know, it's not right, wrong, it's not good, bad, it's just is what it is.
Yeah, there would be, without the ability to get us to compare,
mm-hmm.
then we can't even, it would never even occur to us that there's something else possible.
Right.
It would just be in.
Yeah.
But now when we can compare it, then all of a sudden there's separation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Krista, was there one other thing, or were you making the
No, I was one other quick thing.
Okay.
I just wanted to share that I'm so grateful for practice, you know. It's like 3 weeks or 4 weeks since my closest friend died, and I've just seen myself go, go from utter confusion and to being able to more and more, you know, make peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so strongly that it's my practice. And that, you know, we practice in good times for the hard times. And so to have this well of support available from within and around me in this very hard time is such a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is such a gift. And you know, just to underline that in that really, really hard time, the human knew where to go to drink from that well. Right?
Yeah.
You know, there's that knowing that you're talking about and got you here.
Yep.
Not that you were ever anywhere else, but when sometimes we need to drink deeply.
Yeah. You know? That's a really good point, that the knowing was super strong.
Yep.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Lots to be grateful for.
A lot, and I wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.